Hello, everybody. I'm Radio Johnny, and along with Denise Miller, and you are listening to Recovery Radio on KRFP 90.3 FM in Moscow, Poland. Recovery Radio is an outreach of the Layton and Whitman Recovery Community Centers. You can find them on the web at laytonrecoverycenter.org and on Facebook. The Layton Recovery Community Center is located at 531 South Main Street in Moscow. You can contact the LRCC by phone at 208-883-1045 or by email at laytonrecoverycenter@gmail.com. Their hours are 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday. The Whitman Recovery Community Center is located at 226 East Main Street in Pullman, and you can contact the WRCC by phone at 509-715-1111. Or by email at wrccprogrammanager@gmail.com. Their hours are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday. Recovery Radio's purpose is to share with our community how addictions and behavioral health disorders affect us all and how we deal with them. We also share the personal stories of people in and around recovery, highlighting their experience, insight, and hope for continued recovery. And like I said earlier, I am Radio Johnny. She is Denise. Hello, Denise.
Hello. Hello, Johnny. Hello, everyone. Glad that you could all listen today.
Yes, it's fantastic. And as far as the calendar goes, we are about to enter the month of May, so calendar should be updated and online, and you can get that at the laytonrecoverycenter.org website. You can also pick up past editions of Recovery Radio there. They have links to them. And there's actually another opportunity. There's a website called radioforall.net, and it's radio, the number four, all, and that's all one word, .net. And you can use the search function and look for Recovery Radio. And I think there's about 100 recordings up there.
Yeah.
So you can download them from there. It's a free site. So check that out if you want to hear some more Recovery Radio.
Yeah. And just a couple updates would be that on the 12th of May, which is a Tuesday, from 1 to 2, we're going to have a new workbook class that's basically early recovery group. And so if you can make it to that, Sean and I would look forward to talking with you and meeting you and doing that workbook class. And you're also welcome to come in and take a look at that workbook ahead of time. And then on Thursdays from noon to 1, we also have like a preventing relapse workbook that we're going through that's been going for a few weeks now, but we can always get you caught up. Both groups have a book free of cost to you, of course, and we would, Sean or I would love to talk to you about those workbook groups, fill you in a little bit. If you have some questions, you're welcome to call the LRC or stop on in.
Yeah, and I did want to do one update. You, if you're involved in the AA program, there used to be an AA program called the Misfits that met every day at noon here. They have had to cut back to Fridays only at noon, so you know that. But
right,
the LRC is backfilling some of that.
We are. And, you know, if you ever come in at noon looking for an AA meeting and just really need to talk to somebody, a staff member or a volunteer could meet with you. So just ask the person at the front desk or come find me or Sean. And we don't want anyone to feel unsupported during that time, during this transition.
Right, right. And weren't you guys talking about starting a like an all recovery type meeting sometime during on the news?
So we do have all recovery that we've been doing for a little while at noon on Wednesday, and we would love to see you for that. But that's kind of why we've added these workbook classes. On Tuesday, currently, there's a Tai Chi with John, and so that kind of helps out with the Tuesday at noon, and then we have the workbook class at 1 that'll start on the 12th, and then our noon to 1 preventing relapse on Thursdays. So that kind of just leaves out Monday. Sean and I have some different things going on that day, but we also have time to meet with somebody. We just haven't committed to leading another group We kind of want to see how these workbook groups go and not have too many things going at once.
Right, right. And that's the thing I love about the Recovery Center. We'll try a lot of new things.
Absolutely.
And see how they work. And
absolutely.
If they're well received, they continue. If they aren't, we try something else.
Right. Oh, and I'm just now remembering that I need to let Aaron know about some painting that we have planned for this month and some rock dotting as well. So keep looking at the... At the calendar, there should be some stuff that's going to show for May.
Open up. Fantastic. And now on to the meat of the show. Today in the studio with us is, once again, is Chance Bogan, who has been an intern here. He's interning on his program at the U of I. Welcome, Chance.
How are you doing?
We're doing great, man. So I'm going to throw it to you, so to speak. Tell us about how this year has gone for you at school and what you've learned. Well, this semester, we talked about the previous one on our last recording.
Absolutely. This previous semester has been wonderful. My time here at the Recovery Center has been everything I've wanted it to be. Every experience I've had is checked off of my checklist, I guess you can say. I came in with the expectations of getting to know people from different cultures, different walks of life, how people get where they are, what people do, and just, become an acquaintance of such. And mm-hmm. I've met a great handful of people here that come in often, that I've built a relationship with, that I've learned about their past, their present, and everything that they do and have done. And I couldn't be happier for that kind of experience.
Cool. So I imagine you've met a lot of folks probably just experiencing recovery. And how did you relate to them as far as their what they were struggling with? Is it just a matter of being a good listener, or suggesting directions that people should go in? How did that work for you?
Absolutely. Being a good listener is probably my top quality when it comes to having these kind of relationships. As an intern, not somebody who's certified in these fields, I don't try to suggest because I may suggest the wrong thing. But that's...
And maybe just more of answering questions, huh?
Yeah.
And seeing what they need.
Yeah, really just, that's really what it is, just answering questions. Being a good listener and relating. My family kind of went through the same, I'm not going to say the same as everybody, but went through their own rough time. So growing up through that, having an older sister that helped walk me through what was going on in my family allowed me to grow up with a better picture of what things are. So it's not too out of the ordinary for me to talk to people of the same kind of walk of life.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, that's a good experience. I remember, I grew up in an alcoholic family, my parents primarily, and I had one sister, I had three sisters, 14, 12, and 7 years older than me. So growing up, I had my sister that's the next nearest to me there quite a bit. And she had gotten some counseling and some experience through her educational path that really helped me out a lot, like you're saying, in dealing with, living in basically an insane asylum, people who are, as they say in AA, not mildly drunk, but usually quite insanely drunk, and how to deal with that. That's an important thing. It's fantastic that she was able to help you develop some skills to deal with that, and that's something I'm sure you've been passing on to people as well.
Absolutely,
the same sort of thing. Denise, I'm sure you've had lots of interactions with Chance. What do you think about his progress here?
Yeah, I think it's been really cool to have someone consistently here a couple days a week, spending, you've been here twice a week for 4 hours at a shot, which has been really, really helpful. it makes it to where, you know, Sean and I can get things done and meet with people. I appreciate how you've been answering phones and greeting people. And just honestly, what I've also heard are just some good conversations and some laughing and things like that, which is really nice for the front end of our of the LRC, just to be able to have like a space where people feel welcome and there's good conversation. I think that's been really good. Yeah. Yeah. Very, very much appreciate you here.
Thank you so much.
It's been really good. It's going to be sad to see you and other interns and volunteers go for the summer. Dang, damn it. But, but it's just, it really has. Cause even from my office, sometimes I hear really good conversation and like laughing and joking around. And, you know, we have a lot of kind of sort of heavy, serious, situations with what are going on in people's lives that come in here from the crisis center to the LRC. And honestly, you know, the mood does need to be lightened and, you know, and not have it be so tense. And so you've been here being able to provide that for people and just making people feel included and not alone. That's really, really helpful.
Thank you so much.
Definitely.
Yeah, you know, it's also, you know, because you're a young man, I'm old as dirt. When I was a kid, dirt was still a rock, you know. So, you know, I'm way farther down on the age scale than you are. And having somebody, because we're in a town that I think the average age is like 30 or something like
24,
that.
24 maybe, I don't know. Yeah, maybe 30.
You
I don't know.
Having, you know.
Under 30.
Yeah. Well, you're only, what, 35?
Oh,
right?
52, yeah.
You know, having somebody who is younger and they can come in and look and see you and feel a little more comfortable than, you know, talking to, you know, some of the more mature staff members, you know, that we have here. You know, it's like, I mean, I remember growing up and, you know, going to work at places and, you know, couldn't relate to the old guys there, but if there were a few young guys, you know, there were some bonding opportunities. There was, you know, some chance for, you know, light banter and also the culture of youth and, you know, what's going on there and, you know, the different type of music we listen to.
Gosh, what I think I hear Johnny saying is that it sounds like you're kind of cooler than us, but
yeah, right, right.
Anyways, that's fine.
at least for your age group.
I'm a cool mom. There we go, and grandma.
Among the 60 and up cloud, I have that nailed down myself. But you'll get there someday.
It does help because there are many people that come in here that are like 30 or younger, and so it is nice to have varying ages of people here so that the environment's more relatable and helps people feel more comfortable. So that is good.
Yeah, that is important. And have you found, you know, here's curiosity for you, through your experience here, obviously everybody knows you're a football player for the U of I, and that's great. Have you been able to use anything you learned here to, you know, help your teammates, you know, who, and they're like everybody else. They struggle with things too, you know, emotional and whatnot.
I absolutely have. My time here at the center has made me a lot more emotionally in tune in being empathetic. And, you know, you never know what somebody's going through. So being the positive light in the darkness is always a good choice. Mm-hmm. So definitely going back to, like, the team, like, you know, never say names or anything. I had a teammate who stayed after for a while. I always stay after so I can clean the locker room if it's not up to par. And he was in there after, didn't think anybody was in there, and he just because we kind of was there, he wasn't crying or anything, but he was just there and kind of wasn't on his phone or anything, and came and talked to him, and he kind of just talked to me. He was a young guy, and he was saying it's his first time ever being away from home. Mm-hmm. And he just doesn't really know many people. So I'm like, I came up to him, talked to him, and just gave him an ear to talk to, just a person to talk to. And kind of let them know that, hey, I mean, there's 120 guys on this team. You don't got to be friends with everybody, but I promise you there's somebody to be friends with.
Yeah,
and
right.
Told him I'm always there for him, and he's been smiling every day since. So, I mean, you know, just the little interactions like that make me confident in what I've learned here at the center, that these things work. Actually paying attention works, talking to people works, and caring, it works. It just makes the world better.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And, you know, that you touched on something there, empathy. You know, at one time you were away from home for the first time.
Absolutely.
And you probably felt a lot of those similar feelings. You know, you don't have that support network, you know. I mean, we're all so heavily connected anymore, but it's that being in the same room with somebody, you know, somebody that can, you know, put their arm around you and say, hey, it's going to be okay, you know, and also somebody, you know, having been there, you know. And in my program, AA, if it wasn't for these two guys back in the 30s who decided in order to stay sober themselves, they had to go find people that maybe wanted this message, this program, and share that, you know, information. And, you know, similarly, you know, you see a guy there and he doesn't seem right. I'm sure in the back of your mind something went click. I remember being that guy. And, you know, I found a solution. Let me go try and share it with this guy, or at least find out, you know, if I'm right, if, you know, if he's struggling. And we all struggle. You know, like you made a great point there, and it's kind of the motto down here, really. Everybody's going through something you know nothing about. You know, it's like the guy who weaving through traffic going 90 miles an hour, you know, you can call him a jerk.
Or you can pray for him.
Yeah. Or you can realize maybe that, you know, yeah, his wife just got in a car wreck and he's trying to get to the hospital. Right. Who knows what's right going on there? 90% of the time they're just jerks, especially if they're driving
Johnny
BMWs. But that's just my personal.
He's kind of kidding, I hope.
Yeah, right. Sort of. Yeah, maybe.
I'm sorry, I keep hitting your thing.
Yeah, so that's great. Have you spent much time, been able to spend much time with any of the other counseling interns here? And if so, what have you picked up from them that you're going to take with you down the road?
I haven't been able to be with many other interns for long term because I'm the only one scheduled for my times.
Right, sure.
But during my passion project, I did do a game night. Came to the game night that they usually host on Thursday and brought some of my own teammates and friends. There were other interns there. I got to talk to them, and then I just meet them, and I never knew how many that we had, and then there was a lot there. Yeah. So it was good to see them. They all had their own relationships with the people that come in, just like I do. So it was great to see. Getting to talk to them was just like, some of them have been here for a while. Some of them have been here just for this time being. Mm-hmm. Some of them were volunteers, mm-hmm, who volunteer for a long time, or then some people are here for internships.
Yeah.
But just seeing their relationship with the people that come in, it just made me happy to see that, you know, people stay here for a while and keep these relationships going because, mm-hmm, people need that.
What did your friends and teammates that come think of the event?
They loved it. We brought pizza. We played a new card game that Miss Cindy had taught us how to play. I forgot what it was called, but it was a great game. We incorporated everybody, and everybody was learning at the same time. So that took most of our focus. But we also played Uno. Scrabble, is that it? Scrabble, yeah, played that. Scrabble, yeah. And just kind of got to know the people that are here. Like, get to share experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really time. How that, yeah, yeah. That's how it went down.
Yeah, yeah. Game, playing games, you know, back in my misspent youth, before cable television and, you know, all the evils that came along with that, cell phones, etc. Yeah, a deck of cards was like a necessary component, mm-hmm, in the home.
Yeah, we had a deck of cards and pennies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, I learned how to play like poker, mm-hmm, and 21 when I was like a little kid. Yeah.
Yeah. I taught a friend of mine's kids how to smoke cigars and play poker, and I still don't think they've forgiven me for that.
Imagine that, John.
They were bubblegum cigars, so that was a whole different thing. But yeah, you know, and it kind of invokes a friendly sort of environment for conversation, too, which we don't get enough of these days.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I'm sure I can speak for human beings in general, there's a lot of serious parts of our days, and then also for students and athletes and things. There's, you know, different kinds of things that you guys are responsible, places that you have to be and things, and working hard and everything and studying hard. But to just be able to have some time to have fun is just necessary, I find.
Oh, yeah.
I do a little less of that as I've gotten older, but it's also a reminder to me that I need to do more. I might break out a board game this weekend at my house. I don't think we've done that in quite a while.
Well, there you go.
Sounding like a really good idea.
Yeah, and like Denise said, you know, you play a game, but when you're out there on the field, it's work. Yeah. It's not a flag game, you know, on the weekend, you know, with friends and large amounts of brewed beverages and, you know, that sort of thing on a sunny afternoon. You know, you're out there. There's a reason they call it the gridiron. You know, you're working. You're you know, doing your best to you know, move yourself on in the series of life there. So, yeah, I mean, you can say you enjoy it and you have fun, but it's not the same as, you know, beating a full house with four of a kind. I mean, that's...
It's been a long time since that's happened. Yeah. Might have to practice this weekend.
So, yeah, playing games, you know. And there's so many other things that developing empathy and learning how to converse. That's something that terrifies me for your generation. These damn phones and texting. Not to mention the people with their head down looking at their phones, stepping out into traffic.
Oh, yeah.
I've almost picked off a few of those in this town.
You got to make eye contact. I don't know how old or how young you are when you're crossing the road and there's cars involved. Make eye contact with the driver. It doesn't matter if you have the right of way.
That's right.
Cars hurt. I really do. I feel like that's logical common sense. I like the part that you were sharing about pausing to talk to the teammate and things like that. And I think that is just a really important thing. If you're the type of person who is good with that, like taking that moment to just stop and seeing how someone's doing. I was thinking about how a lot of people that come through our doors are struggling with different kinds of mental health issues or stress or trauma. And just to be seen for a moment, for someone to stop and take some time to talk with them is really cool. So I hope that's something that stays with you, even as you get older, old like dirt, just like Radio Johnny.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, no doubt you will, and you know, you're going to have another year of opportunity here to play for the team, which means you're probably going to see some new guys. I'm sure they're probably already starting to show up. As the seniors leave, and so yeah, you're going to be the guy with the guiding hand there. That's a lot of responsibility, but I think you're up to it. Do you?
Absolutely, I'm absolutely up to it.
All right.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering what your next. So you're a junior right now, going to be a senior. So you got about a year left.
Yeah. So in school, I'm a senior. I graduate next month.
Nice.
With my sociology degree, and then I will be starting my master's program, getting my master's in business administration. I should finish that within the first 8 weeks of the next semester, the fall semester.
Oh, right on.
Really?
Yeah.
That fast?
Yeah.
Because you have all the requirements all caught up because of your longevity. Chance was explaining, maybe you can explain it to the people listening too, how that crazy world works.
Oh,
for you,
with the college football world.
Yeah.
So basically, the rule is they give you 5 years to play four. You get four seasons. Your freshman year, you get what's called a freshman red shirt, which is every school has it, and it's, you're 17 years old, freshly 18, and there's guys 22, 23, 24 with kids and stuff. Yeah. And, you know, they've been in college for 4 years now, so you're quite not ready to play to that competition quite yet. So you practice with the team. You go to every practice. You do everything. You even go to, except the away games, you go to all the home games. You're suited up for them. But you can play in four games as a red shirt and still get the entire year back.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just the freshman red shirt. Then you can play 4 years after that. You can start in games for 4 years after that. The only exception is a medical.
Right.
Medical red shirt. You get injured for more than 50% of the games in a season, then they give you that season back.
Okay. And that happened to you
in your
first season.
In 2024, I got diagnosed with rhabdomyolysis.
Oh my!
Yeah, just it's not too bad. I just get my blood checked every once in a while, and I'm fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's all under wraps. But that kept me out for a lot of the season, and I also tore my UCL in my thumb.
Oh, nice!
But
that's not good for catching the pigskin.
Yeah, no, I had to wear a
ouch,
hard
ouch, ouch.
I had to wear a hard plastic brace on the outside of my glove trying to catch the ball, so it's just like,
oh man,
clunk clank. Yeah.
It hit him right in the hands and mount stop. What the heck?
Jeez. Quarterbacks fall, I swear.
Yeah, it's too bad they don't let them use Stick'em anymore. I remember Lester Hayes playing for the Raiders years ago, and he used that Stick'em stuff, and I swear one time I saw the ball hit him in the helmet and stick. Yeah, I was just like, oh, but he grabbed it. Okay, no, it's a fair catch. I'm like, he ran 10 yards with things stuck to his head. Struggling to get it off. It's like that stuff that you catch mice with, the sticky
trap. Yeah, the sticky stuff.
Yeah.
They can't go
anywhere.
Yeah,
there's a lot of old school pictures of guys wearing that, and their hands are just all kinds of
gooped up,
and just, oh, I'm like, what is that?
Yeah. And then when you go to straight arm somebody, you're going to end up dragging them down the field with you because you're not going to be able to disconnect from them.
I have never heard of this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I've been a football watcher from time to time. My grandson loves football. For his picture, he actually smiled, which he rarely does.
Oh.
And then the rest of my family's cheerleaders, and so we've always kind of been the other side of it. So,
right.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. That's fun. That's
good
fun
stuff.
Though.
That's kind of funny that they have sticky stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, there have been iterations of, I won't call it cheating, but, figuring out how to get an advantage, you know, here and there.
I've got a question, Chance. I wonder, would you rather play, like, in the dome or outdoor? Or does it matter?
The dome.
See, that's where I land on stuff. I mean, WSU has a nice stadium and all, but like the non-affected by the weather seems really cool, not going to lie.
It is always 65 and sunny in the dome.
There we go.
Yeah.
Every day.
There we go. See, and I'm from
at
Arizona,
night,
and theirs, I think, was outside, and so, but it didn't really matter in Arizona.
Yeah.
The Cardinals, I think, or something.
Yeah.
Cardinals?
Yeah. It's also a little trivia that I learned for no particular reason, but the U of I dome is the oldest dome west of the Mississippi River.
I believe that.
Yeah. Not many have gotten away.
Have you guys ever gone up on the dome?
On top of the dome?
Have you gone up on the dome? Yeah, okay. My ex-husband is a two-time All-American cheerleader, and those guys went up on the dome. Yeah. Yeah. I've heard stories. But he's also a cliff jumper and stuff like that. So
yeah,
he was fine with it. Yeah. We won't talk about that. Sorry, my bad. Do we need to cut that out?
Well, it's been rumored. It's been rumored.
Yeah.
There's no proof, I'm sure.
Right.
No one took any pictures and posted them on social media.
Of course not.
Yeah, he didn't see me. Can't prove a thing. Bart Simpson.
It does look very interesting. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
I've heard stories.
I remember when they redid half of the dome to let more light in there years ago. That was quite a project, seeing that crane up there and putting all those panels up and redoing the roof on it and stuff. But can you imagine? This place could be a lot like Green Bay in the wintertime, you know, towards the end of the season, because I've been here, it's snowed in the beginning of October, so
it really has.
That could be a little challenging.
I mean, we don't get fireworks inside like WSU, but
well,
like we still
true.
Don't have cruddy weather, so it's
that's
nice.
True.
Yeah,
That's true. Just guys in the back with guns shooting them off.
Oh, no, Idaho Cowboys.
Rifles in the back of their pickups.
Right, like when you pay Boise State. Do you know why the grass at... No, I'm not going to tell that joke.
Oh, did you realize you can't say that on air?
I just realized there's part of that.
Every now and then...
Probably be really offensive.
Every now and then, Johnny forgets, like, you know, what generation he came from and what's acceptable now.
That's right.
It takes a minute.
That's right.
Yeah.
I gotta chillax, move in slow, and whatnot. So you're going to... you've got a sociology degree now, and you're going to go for a master's in business administration. Are you going to be able, do you think you're going to be able to tie those two programs together?
Absolutely. I got the business administration because I'm going to get my business administration is because, number one, I get free school, so I might as well use all of it.
Right.
Yeah. Number two, sociology itself isn't the most high-paying career if mm-hmm. I just have that in a bachelor's. Mm-hmm. So if I pair that with a master's in business administration, I can still help people, which is why I got the sociology degree, because I just want to help people in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. But now I can buy somebody around to tell them to help people.
Like, I know how to run the place and help people. There we go.
That's right. Yeah, that's true, because, you know, a lot of people... I mean, all kinds of businesses, you know, if you either work, you know, you either get an education and, you know, work in, say in dentistry, typically you'll pair up with other dentists that have established practices and figure it out down the road that way. But they don't focus on, you know, the business end of it necessarily. So having that MBA... and knowing what mistakes primarily not to make, you know, because you can be enthusiastic as all get out and make some pretty heavy mistakes. I owned my own business for many years, and the first few years I made some.
That's what I was going to say. Might be helpful for even running your own home.
Yeah. Some very expensive mistakes, but you know, I got counseling from people who had been in the business, similar type businesses, and some just basic. You know, I tried to do my taxes the first year, and mind-boggling. So I went to an accountant, and I said, hey, can you figure out my taxes for me? And they're like, yeah, sure. And then they explained it to me. I still use them to do my taxes for my business, but at least I got an understanding of, like, what receipts I should keep, what receipts I can't keep, you know, I can't claim, and, you know, all that sort of thing. So having that extra and education on that, that's going to be tremendously helpful, I'm sure. You'd probably move in, take over somebody else's business, you know.
Well, again, I mean, I would imagine that's going to help you just in life with your own finances and things like that. I mean...
Oh, yeah, sure.
There are certain benefits of the things that we learn in our education and schooling and degrees and stuff. That's cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they don't teach enough of it. You know, I would really love to see high school finance classes, you know, where they talk about real world things like, this is a credit card. Stay away from them. They're evil.
Yeah.
This is not an advance on your paycheck. You know, this is a tool that you can use
for
this, that, and the other thing, you know.
Yeah. If you really like shoes, it may not be a good idea. I'm just saying.
Were you offered a million credit cards as soon as you got to college?
I
know they set up on campus and wait for you.
No, not really. I guess I just didn't really pay attention to them too much. I'd say I bought my couch with credit with my first apartment. Spent some money on that and paid it off in, like, I don't know, like a week. I kind of just kept the money in my account and waited a week to pay it off.
Yeah.
Paid it off. Just trying to, like, raise credit. But, like, I've never went and got some gummy bears or got some new sneakers with a credit. I don't
Good
even
job.
Have the physical credit card. Right. So I have a card, but it's back in Tacoma, Washington with my mom. Oh, I just know the numbers to it.
That's a good place for it, yeah. Although with online, like you say, you know, even back home with mom.
Mom, please don't.
Yeah. Hope mom doesn't get any crazy ideas. That could be terrifying. So that's like all good stuff. And as far as football goes, I know, like I've said before, you're going from a very large fraternity, and the next phase for you, of course, be NBA or NFL, and that's a very small fraternity. It doesn't sound like that's your track right now, although, hey, who knows?
We call it Plan A Plus. I got a plan A, but...
Yeah.
Plan A plus. Is that
you
what
know?
I mean?
Yeah.
You never know.
I'm always planning to get an A on an assignment, but if an A plus comes my way, I'm not going to be mad about
there you
it.
Go.
Yeah, that's right. So, how do your teammates and the people you know that play football on the college level, how do they look towards that? And I'll preface that by saying my nephew played college basketball. And he was good. He worked really hard and, you know, was able to put up a decent game. But when he was in his senior year college in California, I asked him, are you going to try and go, you know, pro? And he said, you know what, Uncle John, I've got skills, but I don't have the gift. And he says, I'll always be involved with basketball, but I would never make it in the NBA. He's an assistant coach for the Dallas Mavericks now.
That's
and
pretty cool.
He's coached college, and he's coached in the pros now for several years. So, yeah, he was able to do that. But how do you and your you know, teammates in this little school, middle of nowhere, University of Idaho, how do you guys look at that?
I can definitely say there's a lot of different perspectives. There's guys that have came here from bigger schools, mm-hmm. TCU, UConn, Notre Dame, just bigger schools. And they definitely, I know they went into that FBS atmosphere not expecting to go to the NFL, mm-hmm. but that was their main goal.
Mm-hmm.
And just because they came down to the FCS mm-hmm. doesn't mean that goal changes.
Right.
And I know there's also guys who came from below who came up, guys mm-hmm. who came from D3, D2, JUCO.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're on the Division I level.
Mm-hmm.
And they still have that ambition.
Right.
So it comes from both ways, and dudes always have that aspiration,
mm-hmm.
regardless of what the level of the school is.
Right. Okay.
Like, we can say names here because Keyshawn James Newby just got drafted
mm-hmm.
To the Eagles, to the Philadelphia mm-hmm. Eagles. He was a literal draft pick. He didn't get signed or invited to a minicamp. He got drafted
mm-hmm.
This last weekend. And he was at Montana Tech. He was at Montana Tech.
Right.
And then he came up to Idaho. So mm-hmm. it's about a step up from there. And then he left Idaho and went to University of New Mexico. Another step up.
Right.
And he had the opportunity to do that. So guys never really lose that aspiration mm-hmm. of wanting to play in the league until mm-hmm. it's about their last year.
Mm-hmm.
Their last year, they're kind of like, well, this is what I've put on tape.
Mm-hmm.
This is the player I've shown to be. These are the injuries I've had.
Mm-hmm.
Is it realistic? Some guys aren't realist. Some guys, I don't want to call it delusion, but some guys have a lot of hope.
Right.
And they're really disappointed in the end of it.
Yeah.
Some guys are realists, and they realize, well, you get 4 years to play college football. I haven't played for three. I got okay games in my last season. I don't really think the NFL is looking for that.
Right.
And there's nothing I can't go back and change that. So
right.
Let's get realistic.
Right, right. Like my nephew was, you know. I'm sure if, you know, somebody had come knocking, yeah, he would have listened. But
absolutely,
you know, he had a bigger vision. He's a very unusual man that way. You know, and always had been. But yeah, so you know, he stayed involved, and you know, who knows what's going to happen to you? You know, you might get that MBA and a tap on the shoulder. That would be awesome.
That would be great. That would be wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. Denise, you could end up being a Raiders cheerleader.
Or no, my daughters could. Yeah, my daughters could. Yeah. That's definitely a thing. I mean, my middle daughter is still cheering. She's going to have a surgery next month to be able to compete in December. But she's still going to be doing all the things with her team through the season and football season and the summer and everything like that. And she's super, super disappointed that this last practice that the coach wouldn't let her do anything, wouldn't let her stunt anybody or anything. She was just like, oh, she wouldn't let me. I'm like, because you're injured.
Yeah, and you're going to have surgery.
You're going to have surgery. We're going to get her back to flying, so it'll be all right. Yeah.
Oh, she was a flyer?
She's a flyer, yeah. Oh. She's teeny tiny. Yeah. She'll tell you that she's 4'11", but she's like 4'10", because I'm 4'11". So.
4'11 in heels.
She weighs like a buck 12. Yeah, she's tiny.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, you could toss her four yards down the field.
And so while we're on the subject, I just want to say that the Moscow High School needs more men cheerleaders so that they can fly these girls, because there's girls basing the flyers and it's not the same. I mean, they do a great job, but right, every single time that one of the guys comes and like helps out, like U of I comes to their competitions that run like January, February, mm-hmm, and starts throwing flyers, it's a whole different story. I mean, like, there could be so much progress made. So I need the boys of Moscow, I need a couple of them that are strong to sign up for cheerleading.
You get
to hang out with beautiful young women.
Yeah, what could be wrong with that?
Right, nothing wrong with that.
Now, back when I was in high school and junior college, I was a swimmer, right?
Yeah.
All the cute girls came out to do the stats. It might have had something to do with the fact we're wearing Speedo swimsuits and we're all in like really good shape. You know, I don't know. Maybe. I only dated a couple of them. Anyway. Well, hey, you know what? We're up against the clock here. And Chance, I hope we get to see you in the fall, maybe, you know. Maybe after the season's over, just have you come back in and tell us what it's like and where you're headed next. Because I'm pretty sure with a master's in business and a sociology degree, you'll be anxious to get on the road there. Or, you know, heading down to Las Vegas to play for some unnamed team that may be down there that we were talking about earlier.
Absolutely.
That I have huge resentments against because they left Oakland. Raiders. Anyway. Yeah. Still hurts. So anyway, Denise, thank you again for sitting in with us. And, you know, we'll be back next week. And in the meantime, close it out with the usual. You know, if you think you have a problem with addictions or behavioral health, you do. And maybe you should stop in at the LRC and talk to Denise or Sean or Cindy or any one of a multitude of happy, friendly listeners. You may even see Chance, you know, if you get here before graduation.
Yep. It'd
be awesome. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk at you next week.